So it's just gone 11 o'clock in the evening. It's Hello, Thursday, Simon. The 23rd of January. Hello, good evening, Mark. Now, this is the time, the hallowed time for Japanese whiskey and discussing life and heavyweight themes. And so what we're doing is we are adding this as a special bonus. It's our first embargo special.
Yes.
Explain where we are. First of all, maybe a lot of people don't know how the embargo system works. So do that first of all.
Okay. So what happens with most films is that they show them to the critics in advance, and then the critics review the films. And because the film company have shown you the film, they are allowed to embargo your review to say, well, you can't review it until this point. Now, usually for week of release films, we get shown the films on Monday and Tuesday, and sometimes there'll be an embargo until, you know, Wednesday morning, because they want the reviews to be close to the release date so that the film is being talked about as it's in cinemas. Sometimes they simply don't show you the films at all because they think that critics won't like them and therefore it won't help. But there is a sort of midway point between this, which is showing the film to critics but embargoing it so their reviews are so late in the day that effectively the film hasn't been reviewed. And in the case of the new Mel Gibson film, Flight Risk, that is the case. We're actually recording this on Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock. I saw this film couple of days ago.
I've just said it's Thursday, 11 o'clock in the evening.
I know, but we're actually recording it now because you can't hear it until now because of the embargo. So when I went
for the sake of radio drama, it's more exciting if we pretend that we're adding this on Thursday night.
But in the pursuit of honesty and truth and openness, we should say that that's the case. But so the key thing
is, last year.
Yeah, and the key thing is that's, you know, embargoes are fine. Of course, if the film company doesn't want to show you the film, that's fine. That's their prerogative. If you see it in a paid cinema, you can, you know, it's up to you what you say about it, when you say it. But as far as this is concerned, it's usually, if a film is embargoed until the very last minute before it opens, it's one of two reasons. One of them is, you know, it's James Bond and they don't show it to you until just before because, you know, they don't want any leaks about what's going on, particularly in the case of the last Bond. And the other is that they don't think you're going to like it. And therefore, they would like to keep your opinions away from any potential paying punters until the last possible moment. In this case, 11 p.m. on Thursday. But hey, who knows? Flight Risk may go either way. You can't judge a film on the basis of an embargo. But that's why you're not hearing this review until earliest 11 p.m. Thursday. You may be picking this up first thing Friday morning, in which case the film's in cinemas already.
Right. So before you go into some detail and we play a clip and so on, maybe it would help if I just gave you some etymology about the word embargo.
Oh, please do.
Which means an order forbidding ships from certain other nations from entering or leaving a nation's port. From the Spanish, embargo meaning seizure or arrest.
Wow.
So, with that in mind,
it's a naval term.
It's a naval term, and people get arrested because of this. So that's what it is. So maybe there'll be further arrests once Mark has finished eviscerating.
Well, you don't know that, Simon. You don't know that.
No, that's true.
I mean, maybe it's a masterpiece, okay?
That's true.
So the first thing to say is that when I saw this film, I knew nothing about it at all. I didn't know who it was directed by until at the very end it said directed by Mel Gibson. Now, of course, this is important because, as you probably know, that Mel Gibson, along with John Voight and Sylvester Stallone, was recently named a special White House ambassador to Hollywood as the orange guy said, it is my honor to announce John Voight, Mel Gibson, and Sylvester Stallone to be special ambassadors to a great but very troubled place, Hollywood, California. He went on to say, they will serve as special envoys to me for the purpose of bringing Hollywood, which has lost much business over the last 4 years, to foreign countries back, bigger, better, and stronger than ever before. So basically, you know, Trump has sent his spies into Hollywood to bring it back bigger and better. And Gibson responded by saying, I heed the call. My duty as a citizen is to give help and insight that I can. So essentially, Mel is, you know, he's a public servant. He's a public servant at large in Hollywood, and he is helping to make everything bigger and better. So here is the first movie, out of the trap since all that happened. And the first thing to say about it is it's a complete con. The poster sells it as a Mark Wahlberg film. His is the only face on the poster. In fact, of the three main actors, he is the one with the least to do. He spends large amounts of the drama unconscious. He is the third banana in an action adventure starring Michelle Dockery and Topher Grace. He is, at best, and Mark Wahlberg. But right. In this particular case, he is... but Mark Wahlberg. So Michelle Dockery is Deputy U.S. Marshal Madeline Harris. Topher Grace is Winston. He's an accountant with sort of mob connections whom Dockery tracks down in Alaska. And she arrests him. Then he cuts a deal. He'll turn state witness in return for some form of preferential treatment. But she's got to get him into, the big smoke, the big city, in very, very fast. She has to do it by like Monday morning because she needs him to testify against this big crim who otherwise is going to get away. So in order to do this, they have a jaunt in a rickety private plane piloted by celebrated Christian and all-around top man, Marky Mark Wahlberg. Here's a clip from the trailer.
Deputy Harris, hope you like flying. Beautiful day for it. I never flew U.S. Marshal before. Why is he all chained up?
I have to get him to New York so we can testify against the Moretti crime family.
Okay, hey, you're the boss.
I can't seem to face up to the facts. I'm dancing nervous and I can't relax.
Is it always this bumpy?
No, a number of passengers have left their lunch up here. I can open a snack bar.
You heard in the background the reimagined sounds of Psycho Killer, qu'est-ce que c'est, or in this case, Psycho Killer, WTF. So... it's revealed very early on that Marky Mark's character is bald. And apparently, and I only know this from news stories that I've looked up subsequently, apparently he didn't want to wear a bald cap. He wanted to actually have his head shaved to be bald, which is ironic because it looks exactly like he's wearing a bald cap. I mean, he literally looks like Bobo the Clown. It could not look worse if they had slapped a big condom on his head and then painted it brown. It is the worst, most unconvincing baldness I have ever seen. And the fact that apparently he really did shave his head, so he really doesn't have hair, and it really isn't, a bald cap, is genuinely astonishing. So even the baldness is badly done. Anyway, once they're up in the air, it turns out that Marky Mark is not quite what he seems. One thing, he's bald, that was under a cap. But the other thing is, there's something sinister going on. Now, this isn't a plot spoiler, because you know this from the poster. The poster is just a picture of Marky Mark looking sinister, looking evil, looking like Psycho Killer, qu'est-ce que c'est, which they play in the trailer. So, three people in a plane, all of them odd, US Marshal, arrested crim, bald Mark Wahlberg, Psycho Killer playing over his thing. So this was based on a script by Jared Rosenberg. And the script was on this thing that we've talked about quite a lot, The Blacklist. The Blacklist is basically a list of the best unproduced screenplays. And it's quite often gives you, remarkable films. People go to The Blacklist and they say, why hasn't this been made? And something will come and then it will get made into a great film. I cannot imagine how this script was on The Blacklist unless either Mel Gibson in directing it has completely rewritten it, or it's demonstration that even Shakespeare can be performed extremely badly, because no matter what it may have said or looked like on the page, on the screen, it is catastrophically bad. None of it rings true. None of it makes any sense. None of it has any interest, and almost none of it has any tension. Firstly, it is tonally all over the place. Topher Grace is doing jokey, cheeky bits. Dockery is doing serious, serious crime mystery stuff. And then Wahlberg is just, in the words of Withnell and I, he's coming on all bald, man, doing that sort of psycho gibbering babble about how much he wants to eat everyone's face. And so according to, there was a quote from Mel Gibson, he said, Mark Wahlberg improvised much of his character's dialogue. And Gibson said, Mark's got a dark side. He takes stuff from. Every now and again, he'd let it out. And I can't even repeat some of the stuff he'd say. In fact, we had to cut most of it out. It was like really sick, but we hinted it. Hollywood's top Christians. Hooray. So to make it worse, there is a preposterous second level story happening on the radio because they're in radio contact with people on the ground, which is all about sinister FBI double crossing. So again, you know, of course, you know, Gibson, oh, yeah, this is deep state corruption. So that is meant to be like this kind of twisty mystery, but it's kind of just, oh, for heaven's sake, stop this bumfoolery. This is, it's just, it's preposterous. So this being Gibson, remember Gibson, of course, made, you know, Passion of the Christ, currently working on Passion of the Christ 2, The Resurrection.
Is that a joke?
No, that's what he's doing.
He's actually doing, oh my goodness me.
Yeah, because okay. There's a twist, you see.
He's not dead.
This, you know, Passion of the Christ 2, The Resurrection, this time it's personal. So, yeah, basically, the way that Mel expresses his strong moral code is he makes violent movies that have got lots of stabby stabbings and lots of wincy finger breakings. And in this case, the entire back of somebody's hand being torn off in close up, because, you know, good, wholesome entertainment that's going to make Hollywood bigger, better, stronger, and, you know, all endorsed by Mango Mussolini in his quest to make America great again. Now, don't get me wrong. I like Senseless Gore. Okay. I'm a fan of Senseless Gore. In fact, one of the things I liked about The Passion of the Christ is it is one of the goriest gore movies I have ever seen. I mean, I've seen The Texas Chainsaw Massacre and I've seen Cannibal Holocaust, and The Passion of the Christ is one of the nastiest, most sort of, you know, sadistically violent films ever, as Peter Bradshaw once rather brilliantly said of the crucifixion in The Passion of the Christ. He's not just crucified, he's more crucified than anyone has ever been crucified before, whilst the two thieves either side of him appear to be enduring crucifixion light. Now, I like Senseless Gore, but if I'm going to have it, I would rather have the kind of, you know, unapologetic, enjoyably trashy Senseless Gore of Dragged Across Concrete than this. And of course, also, this is a 15 certificate, so it's kind of having its cake and eating it. It's not giving you full-on disemboweling. It's just giving you the wincy sight of somebody having the back of their hand pulled off. What's most remarkable about this is that Gibson, who, you know, is a director of some note. I mean, he made the incredibly visceral, pardon me, Apocalypto, which I think is, you know, it's a film that's like a whole film is a chase sequence and it's incredibly propulsive. It's astonishing that Mel Gibson could have made a film this dull. For all the violence, for all the tension, for all the up-in-the-air action, for all the comedic baldness, it never gets off the dramatic starting blocks. I mean, Topher Grace, Michelle Dockery, they're unremarkable. Wahlberg is the worst he has ever been. And I mean, I find this hard to say because I used to love Mark Wahlberg. I absolutely loved him in Boogie Nights, for which he's apologized, incidentally. But, you know, the Daddy's Homes and all the rubbish that he's done, this is the worst performance he has ever done. And it's also one of those things about, in this movie, the very best performance of anyone on screen is someone who isn't on screen. Like, for most of the movie, there is a voice of someone who is not on screen, and that person acts everyone on screen off the screen. So I understand why they don't want the reviews to drop until late. And in the pursuit of honesty and truthfulness, yes, a couple of my colleagues, when we came out of the screening, said, I quite enjoyed that. Thought it was all right. And I was looking at them like, are you crazy? That's one of the worst films I've ever seen. But so, as I said, you know, truth and honesty, a couple of my colleagues thought it was great. They're wrong. It is a terrible film. It is an absolutely terrible film, really badly directed by somebody who we know can direct and who has been endorsed by the White House to officially go and make Hollywood bigger, better, and all the rest of it, which actually means go spy on those commies and tell me what they're doing. So, welcome to 4 years of hell.
If that went on the poster, that would actually work, wouldn't it? That would actually be quite quite welcoming. There was I add this for no reason at all, but Stephen Bush in the Financial Times, although I think he was on social media, he was wondering at what stage American Christianity becomes designated as an entirely different faith, completely unmoored from everything else that's happening around the world, but that an American Christian is kind of different to any other type of Christian. Yes. I know that doesn't work. But anyway, he was just ruminating, and I just thought it was an interesting subject. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was, well, in the words of New Model Army, worshipping the devil in the name of God. Off you go.